Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So if you would like to call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer request at this time because we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play. Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. Pray, Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play a selection while we are waiting. Again, we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Said I'm on my way, and I won't. Said I'm on my way, y'all. Ooh, said I'm on my way, y'all. I gotta keep on pressing, y'all. Well, I'm moving upward and I. Yes, I'm moving upward and I won't. I tell you, I'm
anybody got a press? Anybody got a press? and is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. Hallelujah. Come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Yeah. Oh, I come to let you know. Oh, that my God is. Yes, he is able to heal you now, yes. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of our power. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger. So I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible.
Look at your neighbor, tell him it's able.
Able.
Come on, say it's able.
Able.
It's able. No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you. Able to set you free. Able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you. Able to rescue you. Able to hold you up. Able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is. Yes he is. Oh, I know, I know. I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Oh my God. Take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you enter the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
Holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So
amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to pray one for another sweet hour of prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and you can call in your prayer request from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord this evening. Amen. So in the meantime, I will play that selection, The Kingdom of God by HMC Ministries. Amen. Praise God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
Kingdom of God. Sing the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
All powerful.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So glorious.
He's a sovereign God.
So righteous.
He's a sovereign God.
Victorious.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
All powerful.
He's a sovereign God.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. All you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. At this time, I'd like to play another selection. God is sustaining me by our very own Wiggytone.
The
Wiggytones. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope you enjoyed this selection.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God. unmerited favor, and no, I didn't deserve the gift of His grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in His blood. His love, only His love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, He touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel Him all over me. Yeah.
And no matter,
no matter what the time, His blood.
Sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call Him
Jesus.
You gotta call on Him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble on the night.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you freeze.
God is sustaining me. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, shine your light into my life. Bring forgiveness and freedom. Help me to live in the light of your arrival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Fill me up, God. love of God, overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we receive your love into our hearts this moment and return that love to you with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips. We also return it to you by giving our tithes and offerings to be used for the needs of others in the world. Thank you for the privilege of giving and for the joy of seeing you abundantly provide for our needs. Release those who are selfish and stingy from that kind of bondage. Grant that our hearts clean and pure as we place our offerings on your altar. In the name of him who is Lord of all, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's. We're going in the Gospel of Matthew's, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 21 through 48. Amen. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Amen. And it says, these scriptures is talking about the law of murder. Jesus is speaking. Amen. And he says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offerings at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law. While you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Verse 27 is the law of adultery. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Verse 31 to 32 is the law of divorce. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Verses 33 through 37, the law of oath. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Verse 38 through 42, the law of non-resistance. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks if you do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Verses 43 through 48, the law of love. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Here we go. Father God, I come this evening as humbly as I know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind and healing in my body. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. Thank you for our families, our loved ones, friends, neighbors, and even our enemies. Bless those who are in need of a blessing, and bless those who are not in need of a blessing. Bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Protect them, keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and dangers. And bless, pray one for another. Bless the House of the Lord Online Ministry. Bless House of Manasseh Christian Ministry. And bless all of those who are associated with Pray One for Another. Bless their homes, bless their families. Bless our pastor and First Lady Nadine. Comfort them when they need comfort and heal them where they need to be healed. And protect them from all hurt, harms, and dangers. Now, Father God, as I come this evening with this word, I ask that you remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus saith the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So, perhaps the greatest demands of all the teachings of Jesus are found in this segment of the Sermon on the Mount. In the preceding four verses, Jesus declared that the law, not the burdensome laws of the scribes, but the law of God, based on the two great principles of reverence for God and respect for others, is a reliable guide for successful living. Now, Jesus demonstrated how respect for others affects our behavior. He expects those of us who believe to behave. Jesus made it quite clear that Christianity is no easy do as you please religion. In love and yet in firmness, he said that if we dare bear his name, we are to believe and behave. That Christianity is not simply a private affair between you and God is seen in that all the areas Jesus mentioned deal with your relationship to other people. Now, Jesus said there are five problems with others that we will not have when we believe and behave. Amen. So tonight my message is divided into five parts. To God be the glory. My text for this message is coming from, oh, come on. Praise God. It's coming from Matthew 5 and 22. Where it says, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And my title for this message is Believe and Behave. Amen? Praise God. Now, in Matthew 5:21 through 26 tells us the problem of anger. Now, Jesus contended that outward conformity to the old law that forbids killing is not sufficient. He taught that we will be judged according to the inward desires of our hearts. Quite clearly, the ancient law says, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus forbids even the attitude of anger against another. The King James Version says that a man is condemned who is angry with his brother without a cause. And you find that in Matthew 5:22. It is sufficient that the words without a cause are not found in any of the ancient manuscripts. Jesus' statement is actually a total prohibition against anger in any form. It is not enough, according to Christian standards, simply to refrain from striking a person. Well, you know, the Bible says if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. But in reality, if somebody slaps you, your first instinct is to knock them out. Amen? Now, Christianity requires that we not even desire, hear that word, desire to strike a person. And that we not harbor ill feelings against the brother. Talk about danger of anger in verse 22. The word danger appears three times in this one verse, obviously underscoring the danger of anger. Even a casual, familiarity with scripture gives knowledge of the occasion on which our Lord went into the temple and saw a man whose hand was deformed. Amen? In Mark 5:3 and 5, records that when Jesus at those who are opposing his healing, he did so with anger. Ephesians 4 and 26 says, the Apostle Paul said, be ye angry and sin not. From these two references, it is obvious that anger is not always condemned in the Bible. God had given us the ability to feel anger, but he expects us to use it constructively. Now, we should notice in this passage in Matthew that Jesus was not speaking about anger concerning a situation, but about anger directed toward individuals. It seems that what Jesus was forbidding here is a selfish and vindictive anger. The word RACA can hardly be translated because it describes a tone of voice more than content or meaning. Jesus forbids the use of this word because it displays a spirit of arrogance and contemptuous anger. He said that one who is guilty of this is liable to the judgment of God. Jesus also forbids the use of the word fool. And we use that word so often, so many times in our lifetime. But Jesus forbids us to use that word fool. This word was used to cast aspersion on the moral character of another person. Amen? Or aspersion. A-S-P-E-R-S-I-O-N-S.
Aspersion.
On the moral. Excuse me?
Aspersion.
Aspersion. Thank you. An aspersion on the moral character of another person. So Jesus forbids us to destroy another person's name and reputation. Now, to persist in doing so is to be liable to the service judgment of all. The judgment of the fires of hell itself, where we read in the scripture reading. Now in verses 23 through 26, the defeat of anger. Jesus painted the picture of a worshiper standing before the altar. There comes to the worshiper's mind that the fact that someone is angry at him, or perhaps that he is angry at someone else. Should he complete his act of worship and then go solve his problem? Or should he solve the problem first? Well, Jesus contended that we should discontinue worship. Go to our brother or sister. Make things right. And then return to a meaningful worship experience. Jesus was clearly saying that Christians should take the initiative in reconciliation. Such reconciliation will never come by wishful thinking or even by prayer alone. The sooner we take this initiative in asking and granting forgiveness, the better and the easier it is. The longer we wait, the more fixed becomes the attitude of resentment and anger. So therefore, Jesus said in verse 24, in Matthew 5:24, first be reconciled to thy brother. And also, in this passage, Jesus was saying that Christians' reconciliation is a promiscuous to fellowship with God. Amen? So whenever we hold grudges and attitudes of anger toward others, we become estranged from God. The admonition first to be reconciled to our brother or sister, and then come and offer our gift to God. In Matthew 5:27-28 tells us about the problem of adultery. Now, any act that damages everyone concerned can never lead to a happy or Christ-like life. In the matter of adultery, everybody involved loses. Okay? Not just the man or the woman, but everybody involved. Never is there a happy ending to an affair, whether that affair be extramarital or premarital. Therefore, Jesus attacked this problem head on. He asserted that if you believe as you should, you will behave as you should in your personal morals. 28 tells us the root of adultery. Just as Jesus did in the case of murder, he distinguished between the deed and the disposition. The law condemns the act of adultery. Jesus condemned the attitude of adultery. Now we can conclude that the attitude he condemned is the lustful look. But the lustful look is not the passing thought, nor a physical desire, nor a glance. If we take the law of Moses literally, a man on a desert island could never be guilty of adultery. But according to the teachings of Christ, he could, if he persisted in his lustful attitude toward women. In his imagination, he could treat a woman as a passing pleasure rather than as a person. A woman does not need to be physically present for him to commit adultery with her in his heart. Thus, Jesus dealt with the root of the problem of adultery, which is a matter of the heart. In verses 29 through 32, the remedy for adultery. Jesus seemed to offer two remedies. First, there is a personal purity. It is true that amputation of an arm may remove the fiery, but it does not remove the heart of the thievery, but it does not remove the heart of a thief. Now, the goal Jesus was advocating, the goal that Jesus was advocating was not mutilation of the body, but purity of morals. The second remedy Jesus offered was respect for marriage. Divorce was a husband's prerogative. In the old Jewish law, without recourse to courts or outward advice, he could terminate the marriage whenever he chose. All he had to do was serve a written document of divorce to his wife. The original intention of the bill of divorcement was to protect and define a woman's right. But Jesus said that a person who believes and behaves should go one step further. He will respect marriage as the divine institution God intended it to be. Now, in our application of this principle of Jesus, we must be careful not to become pharisaical in our attitude. That's pharisaical in our attitude. And surely, if God will forgive those who lie, steal, or commit adultery and repent, he will forgive those who have made a mistake in their marriage. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, in Matthew 5:33-37 is the problem of dishonesty. In verses 34-36, the problem of dishonesty is compounded by empty oaths. Never make an oath if you're not going to keep it. Amen. The Jews were notorious for dividing oaths into two classes. Now, those that were absolutely binding and those that were not binding. For instance, an oath that contained the name of God was binding, but an oath that omitted the name of God was not binding. So those who were not familiar with this form of trickery could believe a person's oath when that oath meant absolutely nothing. In light of this, Jesus did not forbid taking an oath such as one must take in jury service or when being inducted into the armed forces. Okay? What he did reject is an again, on again, off again truth telling. On again, off again telling. He was simply saying that we must tell the truth under all circumstances. Okay? Now, verse 37, the problem of dishonesty is solved by Christian character. Now, a person's word should be his or her bond. Okay? Remember that. A person's word is his or her bond. Christians should never need to take an oath to substantiate what they are saying. Their guarantee should be their Christian character. In the business world, you may get a person to sign all kinds of contracts and take all kinds of oaths, but none of these will solve the problem of dishonesty. You'll be signing so many papers, you don't even know what you're signing. You could be signing your life away because they know nobody's going to sit there and take time and read all them documents. Come on now. Real world. Now, this problem is solved only by Christian character produced by belief in Jesus Christ that changes the way a person behaves. In Matthew 5:38-42, the problem of retaliation. Now, retaliation was unlimited in the early years of humankind. The law of the judge, the law of the jungle prevailed it. And might made right. If a man knock out another man's tooth, he could expect to have all of his knocked out tooth because of this unrestrained retaliation. The law embodied in Exodus 21:23-24 came into being. This law simply states an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Though it may be hard for us to understand, at that time, limited retaliation was a real advancement in the area of personal morality. Now, this law precisely defines the amount of revenge that was permitted. But Jesus contended that repaying evil with evil falls short of the Christian concept of believing and behaving. Verse 38 tells us the senselessness of retaliation. Actually, what good does retaliation do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Does it restore a lost eye? No. Or does it replace a broken tooth? No. Exchanging retorts and caustic criticism gets us nowhere except in serious trouble. Violence has always breed violence. So Jesus underscored the senselessness of retaliation. Verses 39 through 42, the alternative. Now, the ancient law of unlimited retaliation and the later law of limited retaliation was now replaced by Jesus with the law of no retaliation. Here, Jesus was speaking about personal wrong done by a personal enemy. He was not delivering a discourse on proper response in the case of modern warfare or unprovoked attack. We should also keep in mind that Jesus was speaking to committed followers. This is difficult for mature Christians and is certainly beyond the ability of immature children of the kingdom of God. The overall implication of Jesus' teaching in this passage is that if we are slapped in the face, we must neither hit back nor run. Instead, we must stand our ground. That's what Jesus wants us to do, stand our ground. Take the insult and demonstrate that as Christians, we would rather suffer wrong than do wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Matthew 5:43 through 48, the problem of hate. Personally, I believe this to be the ultimate test of the Christian who wants to believe and behave. In verses 46 through 47, the destructiveness of hate. Now, in verse 46, Jesus said that hate destroys our rewards. And in verse 47, he contended that it destroys our testimony and that we become no different than the lost people around us. Hate ultimately destroys the person who hates. Hate has a way of fastening itself on the person who does not deal with it quickly and effectively. So if you're hating somebody, you got to handle it real fast and quickly. Don't wait, because it will fester and become worse than when it started. Now, hate warps our judgment. It breaks down our personal pause and peace of mind, creates nervous disorders and high blood pressure, and can actually cause illness and death. These facts are confirmed by leading physicians in clinical studies. Thus, it is quite obvious why Jesus said we must avoid the destructiveness of hate. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our Christian testimony. We owe it to our church. And we owe it to the Christ we serve. Praise be to God. Verses 44 through 45, the destruction of hate. Jesus gives us four steps to take in the destruction of hate. Number one, he says, we must love our enemies. Now, this commandment can be obeyed only by those who are Christians. Apart from the grace of God, we can never really love a person who does not love us. Number two, he says the second step is to bless our enemies. This means we must speak well of them. Again, obviously, those who know nothing of the grace of God can never bring themselves to bless a person who was cursing them. Amen? And the third step is do good to them. It is not difficult to do good to those who do good to you. But to do good to those who do you harm requires the lordship of Christ in the fullest sense. And the fourth step is Jesus offers a fourth and final step. He asks us to pray for our enemies. That seemed easy enough. Pray for your enemies. Someone has said that our natural impulse is to pray on our enemies, not pray for our enemies. Yet, this is love's requirement of those who believe and behave. My conclusion is, in verse 48, Jesus said in the RSV Bible, you, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, on the surface, this is an impossible imperative, since no one can be as perfect as God. Yet, the word perfect should not be interpreted to mean sinless or flawless. Rather, we should understand it to mean whole, complete, and mature. Jesus seemed to be saying, stop acting like a child. He admonishes us to grow up and become mature as our Heavenly Father is mature, and thus make our love all-inclusive. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the will to win. He drew a circle that took him in. And that was quoted by Edwin Markham. So when you draw love's circle big enough to include all humankind,
10 seconds,
you will exclude the problems of anger, adultery, dishonesty, retaliation, and hate. Then you will be numbered among those who believe and behave. I hope this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me on believe and behave. So at this time, I'd like to say, if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Amen. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy.
I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy.
Lord, please have mercy on me.
Lord, please have mercy on me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Save me.
Deliver me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
Please help me to avoid sinning again.
I believe that your son, Jesus Christ,
died for my sins,
was resurrected from the dead,
is alive. And here's my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
Become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me to obey you.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you.
And do your will for the rest of my life.
And do your will for the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25, and it says, if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And now that, some of the churches are opening and some are still not, but you can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. And again, my benediction is now to, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand before in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, and now and forever. And let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. So at this time, I'd like to ask my guests online to give a brief response on how they enjoyed the word this evening. Amen. So we're going to start with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins.
Amen. I really enjoyed that message today. That was a wonderful message, and I'm quite sure our radio listeners got something out of that today.
Amen.
Especially if you're in Christ, you know, how you should behave yourself, you know, how you should behave.
That's right.
We talked about adultery, you know what I mean, and hatred, you know, how you shouldn't hold grudges against other people, you know, how you should behave, and retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
I think those things are very important. And adultery, especially people that are married, you know what I mean? And maybe they might see somebody else and they have they're drawn to somebody else. You know what I mean? But you really should try to check and not have those things in your heart. You know, it should be for your own spouse. You shouldn't be that you should be busy trying to keep your marriage together. You know what I mean? And if you have anything like that, you have to really confess it before the Lord, you know, and ask him to help you to deal with it, you know, to deal with the feelings that you might have, so that he can help you to keep them in check, you know, that you don't, because you really have to die to the flesh, whether you're married or not. Single or whatever, when you're in Christ, you have to eventually, you know, but it won't happen overnight, but you have to die to the flesh. Amen. Praise God. But I really enjoyed that message today. Amen.
Amen. Brother Jake, how are you this evening, and do you have a response on how you enjoyed the word?
Yes, I'm feeling chastened to the Lord. I'm grateful that I'm not in any affairs, and I praise God for that. And but what really struck me is the how hatred can fester if not addressed promptly, and sometimes I feel. I'm not sure if it's paranoia, but it's a sense that a brother in Christ is not quite on the same wavelength. And so this word really touched my heart, and I'm thinking of how to reach out to him and what's the word? Better than reconcile. You know, bring it back into a sense of community. I confess that I've always been critical of the churches that I've been a member of, and I'm learning slowly to realize that the reason why we're not perfect yet is because we're not perfect yet.
Right.
And so I'm struggling with having patience and avoiding ambivalence towards my fellow humans. I before I came to Christ, this was an issue that I had. But I loved your word, and it really spoke to my heart,
Praise God.
That's kind of the point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said that, you know, hatred can destroy our rewards in heaven. So we, you know, that's why don't let hatred fester. If you have feelings, you have to, you know, go to that person, and if someone did something to you, and talk with them and let them know you didn't like what they said about it, but, you know, hate it is a very powerful word. Sometimes I even like if I hear my nieces and them use that word or my daughter, I tell her, please don't use that word because it's a very powerful word. And if you, you know, use it, then that means if you hate that person, you hate God because God made that person. He made all human life. So you can't say, I hate you. I never want to see you. I hope you die. You know, these are words that people, you know, we say in anger. And that's why he said, you know, we can get angry, but sin not. And we sin all the time when we get angry, that angry like that. And then we hold on to it. Right now I'm talking about, you know, the anger that my child have for her father. So, you know, and this been going on for years and years since she was a teenager. She's a 41-year-old woman now. I mean, come on. How long are you going to hold on to that anger in your heart against a person like that? Because you're telling God that, you know, you hate him. If you hate your father, then that means you hate God because God created him. That's why Jesus tells us not to hold on to hatred.
Indeed. And the hatred is not really an accurate word for my situation.
Right.
But it's just, it's a feeling of not being on the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same, yeah.
You know, and it's a sense that I get that, you know, when you reach out to someone and they're not really in the mood to discuss,
And I know that feeling.
it's a difficult feeling for a fellow in Christ to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I only have power over myself and God over me.
Right.
But just as it's wrong to have ungodly thoughts in your heart, that makes it uncomfortable when the Holy Spirit convicts me because I know that there's something wrong in the relationship.
Yes.
But what can I do about it short of praying? I mean, you mentioned in your word that prayer, you know, can get you so far, but you know, you have to pray for, not pray on.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Go on, Mother.
Could I ask you a question? Is it a close relationship with a person, with this person? Is it something that they're doing that you don't like? You're in Christ, and are they in Christ?
Yes, they are in Christ.
And are they doing something that you feel in Christ that you shouldn't be doing? They want to do something, but you don't want to do it.
Neither. It's just that it's a problem with communication.
Oh, communication.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not doing anything nasty to me, and as far as I know, and I don't think I'm doing anything nasty to them, but I feel like something is not quite right. So I'm thinking of how I can contact this person and say, I have a feeling that something isn't right. Would you like to discuss it with me?
Mm-hmm.
But
you
the
know,
hard
you,
part
you,
is, yeah.
You have the Holy Spirit in you. You could even ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's the problem, you know.
Yeah.
You could still talk to the person, but I'm just saying, you could ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is the problem, what's wrong, you know.
No, he will.
But you have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he don't have it, but you have it. You have the Holy Spirit, too. And it's the Holy Spirit because you're sensing something that's wrong. You know what I mean? So maybe the Holy Spirit is alerting you that there's something not right. You see?
Oh, yeah. Quite clearly. I feel it deep down in my soul that something isn't quite right.
Yeah, that's probably the Holy Spirit, and you should ask him to reveal to you whatever it is. Or maybe, you know, like you said, go and talk, you know, you feel like, oh, man, what's the problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, people act nice with you and everything. I'm not saying everybody, but they have a grudge or they're holding something, and you might pick it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Against you, you know. I don't know. I don't know if you feel that something they have something against you or what, or there's a miscommunication, like you said.
Yeah, I have to say it. At this point, it definitely feels like a miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because this is hatred is a heavy word. Grudge carries a fair amount of weight itself too.
Mm-hmm.
Since to me it implies a refusal to reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
But
hatred in the Bible, they say that's that they compare that with murder. Hatred.
Oh yeah, it's deep.
And traded with murder in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh well. And when Jesus came and he preached the word, he didn't make the word up himself. He preached what was in the word before he came about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the importance of loving God first with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and body,
mm-hmm.
and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, how can you harm somebody you love?
Right.
It is possible.
People do it every day.
Because we're human.
They say,
yeah.
I did it for love. You love the person, but then you harm the person. That's not love.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're not perfect. But just like you said in your word, Evangelist, we're being perfected, but we're not perfect. None of
right.
us, you know.
Only Jesus.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
That's right.
And it's confusing. It was confusing to me because, well, I've joined 3 churches so far. And the previous 2 were not really, let's just say they should have cut their unbiblical cord.
Oh, okay.
In that
so
they were teaching, you know, we have to have a church without spot or wrinkle
mm-hmm.
in preparation for the second coming was really harped on. And I think it was taken out of context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because rather than focusing on saving each other's soul and keeping us in a state of salvation, it was all pointing fingers and making us feel guilty for not being perfect.
Perfect.
It was very odd, really, really strange.
Did they teach you that to have a relationship with God, a personal, intimate relationship?
Yeah, they mentioned that, but it wasn't really. It was taught in that it was mentioned, but the people who taught it didn't practice it.
Like
it's very, very odd. And I think that's why I left those churches, was because it just did not make any sense according to Scripture or common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just grateful to...
The right churches.
Yeah, yeah. But, it, you know, what can you do? You just have to go where the Lord sends you.
Yep.
That's
you
right.
Know.
Wherever he leads you, that's where you go.
That's where you go to. That's true.
Praise God.
Maybe they need some growing to do this yourself. You know
they
what I mean?
They need a lot of growing.
You said that what they were teaching, they weren't doing it themselves. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like the Pharisees.
Yep, exactly. And
yeah.
they had two laws.
Mm-hmm.
One with God in it and one without God in it.
Right. Well, they wanted to cover all the bases, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so strange. We humans are odd creatures, but I'm working hard. I'm getting better. I used to have very strong ambivalent feelings towards humanity. I remember in the 90s there were these horrible movies coming out of Hollywood about big huge chunks of stuff in space coming and
mm-hmm.
aiming
oh.
right at humanity to destroy it forever. And I kept
yeah.
siding with the asteroids because I was in a state of mind where I could not say that I loved my fellow human. And looking back, I realized the reason why was growing up as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a horrible situation that involved betrayal and trust being broken and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't heal until
you...
It doesn't heal until you start healing it. And praise God,
mm-hmm. Thank
there's
God.
Been so much healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that proves that you can recover.
Oh,
and you can find love for your humans.
Definitely.
For humans.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You can heal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
as
yeah.
As long
yeah.
as you believe
what happens,
and
what when your child... You know what I mean? What happens to you when your child really affects you? And you know what I mean? Well, it affects different people in different ways, but it really affects you. What happens when you're a child, you know? But
yeah.
when you find the Lord and you can go to the Lord really helps you to heal. You know, that's why it's good to have a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Yeah, I... Yeah.
He'll fix it.
You're right.
You know, I mean, you go to him and talk to him just like you talk to any, just like a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. yeah.
Sit down with God and talk with him about it. You know? I was in a church where they tell you, don't always, when you go into prayer, you know, ask for this, that, the other. You know what I mean? You can praise God and sing to him and things like that. But then there should be a time of silence, and you tell God that you want to hear what he has to tell you. That's how you form that relationship with God.
Yeah.
And
it's like when
you can talk to him about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Sometimes, like, when you kneel down to pray, and it's like you just don't have any words. And then, you know, you just stay in silence there and just listen.
You listen
to that.
And get a pencil
voice.
And paper.
Yeah, because
yeah.
God is talking.
Sometimes not only that, God will see that.
We
you
want to
hear exactly what he's saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He says, really interested in what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? He knows your heart, you know what I mean? But I'm saying you really... that's what the pastor used to tell us. He said, when you go into prayer, take a pencil and a pad or something. And when you silently before God, that means you're waiting to hear what he has to tell you. And so I started doing that. And as you do that over a period of time, you really begin to really hear from God. You know what I mean? He'll begin to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Holy Spirit will talk to you. The Holy Spirit, you know, that's inside of you will tell you what God is talking to him about.
Yep.
So it's very important. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you can pour your heart out to God and you tell him how you feel, you know what I mean, what happened to you as a child. Well, he already knows it.
He knows it, but he still wants
God has
you
the solution before you have the problem.
Uh-huh.
You do. You know, you have the solution.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, that's a great idea of journaling.
Yeah.
Of God, yeah. Helps me get my head all together straight.
I took it serious when I heard that, Pastor. I took it very serious when I was young.
Mm.
So that's what I had did, you know, for a long period of time.
Mm.
But you don't think nothing happens with it, but it begins to happen, you know. That's when you begin to be keen to whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you, you know.
Yeah.
I'll begin to talk to you.
And
yeah, you feel like
that also is useful because you can refer to it and watch the process of growth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
guys.
Why we have a memory.
8:26.
Okay, I just want to ask him one more thing. How was your relationship with your father? I mean,
he's passed on, but prior to that, we were sort of estranged, and then we got back together again. And as soon as we became friends, he got very sick and died.
Okay.
So.
That was.
So you
God's
see, when
heart.
You go into prayer with God.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I did. I didn't have exactly a good relationship with my father. So I took God as my father. Well, of course, God is everybody's father who's in Christ. But I really took God as my father. And I know a lot of other people that did the same thing who didn't have a good relationship with their father. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And just take God like your father. You know what I mean? Your father's still, he's still there. It's God. God is your father.
He never leaves you nor forsakes you.
Or see you begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the
yes,
best
indeed.
Father you could ever have.
Oh, yeah.
There's no father like God.
None.
I mean, you can't compare other fathers to God because it's just totally different. There's nobody like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Sister Barbara, you have anything you want to add?
I was just going to say that I enjoyed your sermon.
Thank
and
you.
And I like the fact that you read the part, well, a lot of people, it's scriptural, that we don't call, you know, people fools. You know, fools.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't know that, and they still do. I've heard preachers say it, sometimes even from the pulpit. But that's not what Christ wants. It's not how you please him. You know, you're not to call anybody a fool. Who are you to call someone else a fool? So... I'm glad you put that out there, and I hope those that don't know, now they know. Didn't know.
Amen.
That's not the way of the Lord.
Nope, it's not. Not God's way. We are to call no one a fool or anything else. Idiot or, you know,
well, fool
stupid.
Is the Bible.
Yeah. And stupid. Those two words, stupid and fool, do not call a person. Amen. Okay, so I want to thank everyone for showing up in the spirit. And thank you for, you know, joining me this evening and hearing this word. I'm sorry that our first lady didn't have a chance to give our lesson this evening. But next week is another day. Praise be to God that we will all be here. And
God willing.
Yep, pick up from there. But tomorrow we have our Barbara Amore is going to come with our basic theology, and we're still talking about the angels.
Talking about the angels, yes.
Yes.
Been on one page for like 3 weeks, I think.
3-4 weeks now.
One page.
Yes,
chapter
ma'am.
21. But anyway, God willing, I will bring it tomorrow if he doesn't want to come on or just wants to, you know, be a student. My pleasure.
Amen.
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 So, good night, everybody. I love you guys, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you
welcome.
All.
Good
night.
Love
you
too.
Love
I'll
you
see
all.
Y'all.
Shalom.
Jake and Sister Barbara, see y'all tomorrow at the meeting. Are we having a meeting tomorrow, right? At five?
Yeah, at five.
Or rehearsal. At five.
Yeah, rehearsal.
Rehearsal. Okay.
So I know about that. Tomorrow?
We do?
You saying it, I'm asking you.
Oh well, I just got accustomed to when I remember I can mention it, but then there's times when I completely forget that you guys are even rehearsing. Yep. Sometimes I show up.
So I'm having one or you don't know?
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Okay. Well, in this case, your assumption is correct. We are scheduled to meet. All right. Yeah, we're supposed to schedule to meet tomorrow at 5.
Oh, great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
Hey, brother.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night. Okay.
Love you. I'm not playing the music. I'm just going to close us out. Praise God. Okay.